ഇരിക്കുന്നത്. Welcome to this Sunday night. There is a solution, newcomer and returning members meeting of Overeaters Anonymous. The meeting is being recorded, so you may visit our website at oaontario.org, where you'll find this audio recording, additional podcasts, and a place to donate to keep this special service active. The link will be posted in the chat. The opinions expressed are those of individual OA members and do not represent OA as a whole. Our speaker today is a compulsive overeater, a member who has at least 6 months of abstinence, has recovered through the directions in the Big Book, and maintains recovery on a daily basis. After the share, there will be time to make a comment or ask a question about the OA program or what the speaker has shared. So help me welcome Kazriel, a compulsive overeater from Toronto, Ontario, and a member of this meeting's committee. Welcome, Kazriel.
Okay. Thanks so much, Donna. Thanks, everyone. So grateful to be here and grateful to see a lot of familiar faces. I wanted to make amends. I've been waiting to make this amends for like 3 years because I was supposed to speak a few years ago and I relapsed right before. So I want to make amends to Jessica, especially because she was relying on me. I let her down. And so I'm just glad to be here tonight. So again, my name is Castriel. I'm a compulsive overeater. I'm grateful to be here. If you had met me 10 years ago, you probably would have thought my biggest problem was food. And that's what I would have thought about myself. Today, I know something very different. Food was never really my problem. I was using food as my solution. So whenever I felt lonely, ashamed, afraid, overwhelmed, rejected, any feelings, happy, sad, I used food to comfort me, to numb my feelings. Today, OA has given me something much greater, the freedom from compulsive eating. Is giving me freedom from needing food to survive emotionally and spiritually. So what it was like, I grew up the oldest of three boys. From outside, we looked like a normal family, but inside there was a lot of dysfunction. My parents didn't have a happy marriage, and I don't remember ever feeling emotionally safe in my house. Looking back, the safest place I knew wasn't a room. It wasn't a person. It was sitting in front of the television with food. I honestly believe that I was born a compulsive overeater. I always was the biggest kid in class, at school, at camp, playing sports. Being that kid became part of my identity. Whether people judged me or whether I simply believed they did, I never felt accepted. So I became an overachiever. If I couldn't earn acceptance because of how I looked, maybe I could earn it by achieving. I became president of youth group, I worked constantly, I made a lot of money, I tried to succeed. Looking back, I think I was trying to earn the worth that I never felt inside. One thing recovery has helped me understand is that food wasn't just something I ate. I was using food as a place to go hide, as a way to hide. I remember sneaking downstairs after my parents were asleep so many times. I had memorized exactly which steps creaked, so I'd avoid waking anyone up. I'd quietly open the cupboards, grab food, and I'd sit alone in the dark eating. Today I look back and, you know, I ask, what child has to become an expert at sneaking food? But back then it felt totally normal. It felt normal. Another memory has always stayed with me. I'd just gotten a brand new bike. One day I was so desperate for junk food, I rode to the convenience store. I was in such a hurry, I didn't even lock my bike up. I came back outside and my bike was gone. Thankfully, I spotted the thief riding away and I got my bike back. But looking back, I realized something. My desperation for food had become greater than protecting something that I just received. Our whole family escaped differently. My mother lovingly prepared dinner, but we rarely ate together. We rarely sat together. Everyone grabbed a plate, loaded it up, and disappeared to a different room to watch television. Looking back, I think every one of us was using food to escape our life in our own way. So when I graduated high school, I weighed about 265 pounds. For context, today I weigh just about 165 pounds. So it's about 100 pound weight loss. But before university, I worked in a warehouse and I joined a gym. And I really didn't know anything about losing weight, but I just spent 6 months. I lost about 85 pounds. And I spent 6 months just going to the gym and working a lot of hours and not eating a lot. I lost 85 pounds before university. And I showed up looking like a completely different person. I had a new body, new clothes, new confidence. I honestly believe everything's going to be different this time. But although my body didn't change, although my body did change, my mind didn't. The shame was still there, the obsession was still there, and food still controlled me. So people knew me as this new healthy guy. I went to the gym a lot. I ate healthy on the outside, but what they didn't know was what was going on at night behind closed doors. Many nights at around 11:30 at night, when I look out my window, I remember looking out and thinking everyone's sleeping now. I'm up the latest. I'd order pizza. I found out that my food plan could allow me to order takeout. I'd order pizza, and I would do things that in the moment I didn't think were weird or different. But I remember I lived on the 10th floor, and I would go downstairs to meet the delivery guy, and I would take the elevator up only to the 9th floor and go up these stairs so no one would see me because I didn't want anyone to see me with that pizza. I'd actually planned an escape route, for the pizza. That's how crazy it was. I thought it was a smart thing to do, and today I realized something different. Healthy people don't build secret routes for their food. The sneaking wasn't the problem. The sneaking was part of the symptom. So deep down, I already knew my relationship with food wasn't normal. Instead of asking for help, I simply became better at hiding it. So towards the end of university, I became religious. This was a process, but it gave me meaning and purpose and a beautiful relationship with God that I have had for more than 20 years now. People sometimes assume that OA introduced me to God. That's not my story, but becoming religious didn't solve my compulsive overeating. The weight slowly came back. I got married. I had three amazing kids. Eventually, I got divorced. Life kept moving forward, but one thing never changed, the food. So people saw me as a healthy eater. What they didn't see was secret eating, stopping for food before coming home, hiding wrappers, making promises every morning, breaking them every night. Looking back, I wasn't just hiding food, I was hiding myself. So around 2015, about 10, just over 10 years ago, something happened that completely changed the direction of my life. So a friend of mine quietly shared that he was in a 12-step program. Until then, I knew almost nothing about recovery. For some reason, after talking with him, I felt something inside of me saying, "You need to look at this." So I borrowed his big book and I read the first 164 pages. I couldn't put it down. And for the first time in my life, I felt like someone understood not just what I did, but how my mind worked. Someone understood the promises I made every morning and broke every afternoon. Someone understood the bargaining I did, the obsession, the secrecy. For the first time, I didn't feel alone. That book gave me hope. So I searched online and I found a meeting about an hour away. I got on a bus and I have absolutely no idea what I was walking into. I'll never forget the day on the bus. I got off the bus and I recognized someone getting off with me from my community. Immediately, my heart started pounding. I felt like I was going to pass out. He got off at the same stop and we started walking in the same direction. Then he walked to the exact same room that I did. I remember thinking, please don't let him see me. I wanted to turn around. I wanted to disappear, but somehow I kept walking. It's funny how life works. A person I was hoping wouldn't recognize me eventually became my first sponsor. At the time, I thought it was the worst thing that could happen today. No, God is really taking care of me. My first meeting, so I walked into that men's meeting terrified. I remember thinking, these people are different than me. They have the real problem. I don't belong here. Sound familiar? Thankfully, I stayed. I honestly, I don't remember everything that was shared, but I remember exactly how I felt for the first time. I wasn't the only one. People understood the obsession. They understood the secrecy. They understood promising yourself every morning. They spoke my language. At the end of the meeting, everyone stood together and closed with these words, "Keep coming back. It works if you work it and you're worth it. Everyone else probably heard the whole sentence. I only heard the last four words, you're worth it. I remember feeling like I was going to burst into tears because I'd never really believed that. I believed I was weak. I believed I'd failed too many times. I believed there was something fundamentally wrong with me. Worth it? I had never thought of that in that way. Today, those words mean something completely different for me. Recovery has taught me that my worth was never determined by my weight. I was never determined by what I ate yesterday, never determined by the number on the scale. I was worth saving long before I believed it. So that man eventually became my sponsor. We worked through the big book. I followed a plan, a food plan. I became abstinent. I lost a lot of weight, and life felt amazing. And if this were a Hollywood movie, the credits would roll. I found a way. I found a sponsor. I found abstinence. I lost the weight, and everything looked perfect. But that's not how the story ends. Within 6 months of thinking that I had found my solution, I picked up the food again. That relapse taught me one of the most important lessons of my recovery. For years, I thought relapse happened because I wasn't trying hard enough. Today, I understand something completely different. The big book talks about what I think of as the broken bridge and the mental blank spot. People have a bridge between thought and action. Something happens, they pause, they think, they pray, they make a decision. For me, that bridge is broken, right? So between the thought and the action is what the big book calls the mental blank spot. Somehow my mind convinces me, just one bite. You've changed. Maybe you have it under control now. The thing is, I actually believe it in the moment. So looking back, I never relapsed because I wanted to destroy my life. I relapsed because my mind convinced me I wouldn't. And that the realization changed everything. So people often say compulsive overeating is a progressive disease. And for years I thought simply meant my metabolism slows down as I get older. Now I understand something much deeper. The further I get away from my last binge, the quieter the memory becomes. I slowly forget the pain, I forget the hopelessness, I forget the promises that I broke. Then my disease starts whispering to me again. Maybe you're different now. Maybe you've recovered enough. Maybe you can handle it. And it doesn't usually scream, it whispers. And that's why I've learned something that has become one of the most important foundations of my recovery. If my disease is progressive, then my recovery has to be just as progressive. My recovery has to keep growing. So maybe this year that means sponsoring someone. Maybe it means more service. Maybe it means becoming more honest. Whatever it is, the actions have to change. But one thing can't. My recovery has to grow faster than my disease because my disease never stops growing. So about 8 months ago, my disease brought me to a place I thought I would never visit again. I had been on another relapse, like I spoke about when I was supposed to speak about 3 years ago. And when I leave the rooms, I leave for a long time because I'm embarrassed to come back. I feel terrible about myself. About 8 months ago, I had been on another long binge, and I still remember it. It was a Thursday night. Just before the stores had closed, I had stocked up on my favorite binge foods and I had stayed up late binging. Sometime during the night, I got up to go to the bathroom, and honestly, I don't know what happened. Maybe it was the sugar, but I briefly blacked out. And the next thing, I had fallen and hit my back against the bathtub. And the first, I thought I just hurt my elbow because I was in tremendous pain. But I tried to move, and I had tremendous pain in my back. I couldn't move. My whole body broke out into sweat, and I was just lying there by myself. I literally crawled back to my bed, and somehow I pulled myself onto the mattress in tremendous amount of pain, and I laid there crying to God, just help me, please make this stop. I prayed, I cried, I tried to sleep. I didn't know what to do. I was embarrassed to call anyone. I had plans that weekend to go to someone's house for a meal. I canceled and simply told them I hurt my back. And that part was true, but what I didn't tell them was what happened next. I did what I had always done. I ordered more food. The next day, I had delivery bring the bags right up to my couch because I could barely move. For almost a week, I sat there eating and trying to sleep, sitting upright because lying down hurt so much. A friend finally convinced me to go to the hospital. They found a small fracture in my back, and there wasn't really anything they could do about it except tell me to rest. So I went home and went right back to the food. But something else started happening. Every morning I'd walk past the mirror. Every morning I'd look at myself in the mirror, and I hated what I was seeing. And every day it was getting worse. Not because of the weight, not because my clothes barely fit, but because I felt like I was watching myself, my true self, disappear. Right? People know me, my friends know me, I'm generally positive, optimistic guy, but every day I felt myself getting darker. I felt more hopeless, more ashamed, more scared. The thing that frightened me the most wasn't my back, it wasn't even my weight, it was that I couldn't stop. I knew that food was making everything worse. I knew exactly what it was doing to me, and I still couldn't stop reaching for it. Then one morning, I tried putting one of my suits. It barely fit. I remember thinking it's gonna split. I'm gonna split this suit. But that wasn't really the turning point. The turning point came when I thought about my three children. I love those kids more than anything in the world, and I remember thinking they deserve a better father. They deserve a healthy father. They deserve a happy father. And if I kept living like this, I'm becoming neither. So that was really the moment that I surrendered. Not because I suddenly became stronger, but because I finally admitted that I couldn't do this by myself anymore. I knew I needed OA again. And that's when I started looking for a meeting, an online meeting. And I found the Scottsdale meeting, which is a nightly 6 days a week, six nights a week meeting. And I love the strong recovery I heard. I love the focus on the big book. I knew I needed another sponsor, and it wasn't easy to find one. I spoke to several people. One person told me I didn't sound desperate enough. Another person questioned my religious practices. Another told me that because I couldn't attend a certain morning meeting due to my prayer schedule, I obviously wasn't willing to go to any lengths. A few years earlier, those conversations would have been enough for me to quit. But I learned something valuable. I couldn't let another human being stand in the way of my recovery. People aren't perfect, sponsors aren't perfect, meetings aren't perfect, and I'm not perfect. This program isn't built on perfect people, it's built on willingness. Eventually, I found a sponsor. One reason we connected so quickly was because we shared the same religious background. He understood my life, he understood without long explanations. He understood kosher food, the day of rest, holidays and prayers, family life. Looking back, that wasn't the biggest reason our relationship worked. The biggest reason was he never gave up on me. At first, I couldn't stay abstinent. I'd get one day, then binge, 2 days, then binge. But I wasn't exactly the model sponsee at the beginning. But every few days he'd call, "How are you doing?" He wouldn't give up on me, leave messages, and that kept me going. Looking back, I think he believed in my recovery before I believed it in myself. That's exactly what another human being can do. Eventually, something inside of me changed. For years, I'd always wanted recovery on my terms. I'll do this, but not that. I'll go to meetings, but don't ask me to weigh my food. Everything was negotiable. This time, I stopped negotiating. I finally admitted that my own ideas hadn't worked well for me in the past. Recovery really began the day I became willing. So there was one suggestion sponsors had been making for years: weigh your food. Every single time I shut the conversation down, I would think, "No way, that's too restrictive. I still want to live my life. I want to go out to restaurants. I want to eat at people's homes. I don't have time for that." I had all the excuses. Looking back, I had an opinion about something that I had never actually tried. This time I asked myself one simple question: what if I try this for 30 days? Not forever, just 30 days. If I hated it, I could always stop. But then another thought came to my mind: what if it actually works? That question changed my recovery. Today, that's something I tell people I sponsor. Sometimes we say one day at a time. Sometimes I simply ask, "Can you honestly give this one suggestion 30 days? Because what's the downside? If it doesn't help, so you've lost 30 days. But if it changes your life, what have you lost?" Sometimes I say, "If I offered you $1 million to follow your food plan for a month, would you do it?" And they would say yes. And I'd say, "Your freedom is worth much more than $1 million." So what I realized about weighing my food was that I thought that weighing my food was going to be prison. It was going to put me in prison. But what I realized was that it gave me freedom. So today I prepare tomorrow's food the night before. The negotiations are over. And something happened. I thought weighing my food would make me think think about food more. It actually made me think about food much less. For the first time in my life, I experienced peace around food. So what my recovery looks like today? So people ask me, what does it look like? The truth is, my recovery today looks completely different than it did for the first few times I was in the program. Back then, my recovery was mostly about food, sticking to a food plan, my red light foods, green light foods. Today, my recovery, that's the least of my recovery. Recovery is about my spiritual condition. One of the greatest gifts the program has given me has nothing to do with food. It has to do with freedom. When I wake up in the morning, I don't negotiate with myself about what I'm going to eat. I'm not wondering, should I skip breakfast? Can I eat a little bit more? What can I change to the plan today? Those conversations are gone. The night before, I've already prepared all my food. I know exactly what I'm eating. The decisions have already been made for me, by me. They've given me something priceless, mental space. For the first time in my life, I don't spend the day thinking about food. Now I can spend my energy on things that actually matter, my children, helping other people, growing spiritually, most importantly, my relationship with my higher power. People sometimes assume that OA introduced me to my higher power. So that's not my story. I've had a beautiful relationship, as I mentioned, with my higher power for more than 20 years. But while I believe in God, I was still constantly consumed by food, weight, shame, promises, and failures. Those obsessions filled my mind. I wasn't experiencing relationship the way I wanted to because there was so much noise. But today, that noise has become quiet. So OA didn't introduce me to God, but it removed many of the things that were getting between me and God. Today, I wake up, and instead of thinking about food, I can right away think about talking to God and connecting with God. That is one of the great miracles of recovery. You know, they say I live step 10, 11, 12 on a daily basis. So what that looks like for me is, first of all, step 10 is probably the biggest game changer for me. If I had to choose one step that had changed my life, that would be that. One thing recovery has taught me is working the steps doesn't really mean life becomes perfect. I like to say life is going to get lifey. People still disappoint. Traffic still exists. Work still gets stressful. Family problems still happen, and recovery doesn't remove all those things. It changes how I respond to those things, though. Whenever something disturbs me, I try to do a 10-step as quickly as possible. I have a simple script based on the big book. As soon as I can, I record a WhatsApp voice note, and I send it to three 10-step partners that I have. Sometimes they reply, sometimes they don't. Honestly, that's not the most important part. The miracle happens when I'm doing the inventory because I realize something. Only about 10% of my 10 step is about what happened, but 90% is about my part. And that for me is a game changer. The moment I stop focusing on what the other person did and start asking, where was I selfish? Where was I afraid? What could I have done differently? Everything changes. It's like flipping a switch. The resentment loses its power. It shrinks. The anger goes away. The pressure comes off. Instead of trying to change another person, I go back to working on the only person I can change, myself. Years ago, I could stay angry for days, sometimes weeks. Today, I don't want to carry that anymore. I want to deal with it while it's still small, before the next excuse to eat comes. Step 10 hasn't changed my recovery, it changed my life. Step 11 has also become a huge part of my life. One thing I've learned is that I need to make recovery as easy as possible. If something feels complicated, my disease will always find a reason not to do it. So instead of fighting technology, I decided to use it. Every morning I get an email, a pre-programmed email. It contains all my morning readings from the big book and a few other passages that help me begin the day spiritually. Through the day, I receive little reminder emails to pause and reconnect with God with some readings. Then every evening I do my nightly review. I have three other step 11 partners. I send a voice note to them with my step 11 nightly review, And again, they listen to it, they respond if they want. And I just send them that voice note. And again, that's the point is not for them to hear it from me. The miracle happens when I do the review myself. I've learned something very important, that my disease is always looking for reasons not to do the work. So I built a system that makes it easy to say yes, right? If I have to wait for a scheduled time to talk to someone, if I have to wait to find somebody to speak to, those are all excuses for my disease to take advantage of. And finally, there's step 12. The big book says, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and practice these principles in all our affairs. I've come to realize step 12 isn't the reward for recovery. It's one of the things that keeps me in recovery. I sponsor one person at a time. We spend about 3 or 4 weeks going through the steps together. We read, we listen to recordings, we discuss, and most importantly, we try to live it. But sponsorship is only part of my step 12. I also love service. So I'm on the welcome committee at my meeting. I chair meetings whenever I can. I make outreach calls pretty much every day. And I really enjoy helping others with their recovery. And sometimes I'm the one who needs the connection. So recently, a few of us started organizing monthly recovery workshops. It's been a highlight of my program. We've done workshops on sponsorship, on step 11, on relapse prevention. This month, we're planning one for step 10 panel. So every time we prepare one of those workshops, we think we're helping other people, but somehow in the end, we strengthen our own recovery. The more I give recovery away, the more recovery is given back to me. So looking back at my life, just to close up, it's amazing how much life has changed. I used to wake up thinking about food. I used to go to bed thinking about food. Today I wake up thinking about God. I used to organize my day around the next meal. Today, I organize my day around staying spiritually fit. I used to spend my energy hiding. Today, I spend my energy helping. When I first came into OA, I thought I needed God to help me stop eating. Today, I realized something very different. I needed to stop letting food come between me and God. I still have the disease. I still need meetings. I still need my sponsor. I still need my higher power. Life gets lifey, yeah. But today I don't face it alone. So if you're new here or if you're coming back, if you're wondering whether recovery is really possible, don't judge OA by my first attempt or my second attempt. Judge it by what happened when I finally became willing. Recovery isn't about perfection. It's about surrender, one meal at a time, one prayer at a time, one inventory at a time, one phone call, one act of service. If there's one thing I'd leave you with tonight, it's this. My disease is progressive, so my recovery has to be progressive too. I have to keep growing, I have to keep learning, I have to keep surrendering, I have to keep giving it away, because the moment I stop growing, my disease starts catching up. Today, by the grace of my higher power, my sponsor, this fellowship, and my friends here in the program and the 12 steps, when I came into OA, I didn't believe I was worth it. Today, I know I am. And if you're sitting here tonight wondering whether your recovery is possible for you, I hope you'll borrow the faith that this fellowship borrowed to me, because you're worth it too. So thanks so much for letting me share.
Kazriel, thank you so much. I'm so glad we waited 3 years to hear that. Thank you. Now